away we go on the latest edition of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Episode 18 underway. College football playoff semifinal version. Got a preview both the Goodyear Cotton Bowl between number 2 Clemson and number 3 Notre Dame. Also the Capital One Orange Bowl between number 1 Alabama and number 4 Oklahoma. The playoff semifinals are here. It's playoff eve, if you will. I'm recording this on December 28th. Playoff games, of course, Saturday, December 29th. So I thought I'd get this out to you guys ahead of time. Lots to get into when breaking down these matchups. Of course, the breaking news this week involving the Clemson players being suspended for testing positive, I should say, for a substance called Ostarine. It can be in foods, all kinds of things. Dabo Swinney standing by his players saying he doesn't know what happened. Of course, the notable one here, defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence. He did speak to the media, so props to him. He, again, has no explanation for what happened here. Also, freshman tight end Braden Galloway and junior offensive tackle Zach Giel, they will be out as well. Alabama suspending a couple of players for breaking team rules. Nobody super of note. But Dexter Lawrence being out for Clemson is a big deal in their matchup with Notre Dame. Alabama having a couple of guys out against Oklahoma. I'll start with the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, save the Orange Bowl with Alabama and Oklahoma for just a little bit because I think that's the juicier matchup. So I want to start with Clemson and Notre Dame, a game that I will actually be here in Arlington, Texas, broadcasting a little pregame show for the station I work at here in Dallas, 103.3 FM ESPN. I look at this, and since I've seen this matchup, really one thing has come to mind. Clemson is essentially a better version of Notre Dame. They're just a little bit better across the board in all categories. You know, and it goes down to players too. Trevor Lawrence, a little bit better than Ian Book. Travis Etienne, better than the crop of running backs that Notre Dame has. Notre Dame's defense, not quite as good as Clemson's. And you look at the numbers, starting with Clemson, they're number 5 in total offense at almost 530 yards a game, 28th in passing offense, 9th in rushing offense. Where is Notre Dame? 28th in total offense at 456 a game, about, you know, 75 yards less than Clemson. 31st in passing offense, just a little bit behind Clemson. 49th in rushing offense, about 70 yards behind Clemson. They're both good turnover ratio teams toward the top in the country. Clemson, number 4 in total defense. Notre Dame, 20th in total defense. Clemson, number 3 in rush defense. Notre Dame, number 33 in rush defense. I just look at this across the board, and I think Notre Dame is going to have a hard time winning this game because Clemson shuts down the run, and they make you pass it. And they run the ball with Travis Etienne, who has over 1,400 rushing yards, and they don't turn the ball over with Trevor Lawrence taking care of it. They play really solid, balanced, complementary football, and they shut you down defensively. They only give up about 185 passing yards a game. Notre Dame's got a good defense, 20th in total defense, only 331 yards a game. You know, they only give up about 195, 200 passing yards a game. That's high up there. But they don't wow you anywhere. I've said this throughout the process when they were getting 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, kind of comparing the top 6 or 8 teams at the time. My thought was that Notre Dame's floor might be the highest of all these teams because they don't make mistakes. They don't turn the football over. They control the clock. Ian Book is really solid. They run the ball fairly well, and they don't beat themselves. You look at Notre Dame in turnover margin. Plus 5 in turnover margin, and Clemson plus 4. Pretty similar there. They both play pretty much mistake-free football for the most part. Notre Dame has given it away 15 times, and they've forced 20 turnovers. 15 turnovers in 12 games, not very many. Clemson, they've given it away 16 times, 18 times, and they've forced 22 turnovers, plus 4. you know, you're talking about one between one and two turnovers a game each and forcing two or three each. You know, it's going to win you a lot of games when you play mistake-free football for the most part, and these two teams have done that. I just think the X factor here, Travis Etienne. I think the way he runs the football for Clemson, he's more dynamic than any player Notre Dame has. Notre Dame is just, God, you watch them and you're like, God, I can't really pick anything about them that's bad. They're a really good team. They're solid, but they don't wow you anywhere. There's never a play where you're like, wow, that jumped off the screen. And I'm not saying you have to have that because you don't. But it'd be nice if every once in a while you had a guy that can make a big play for you. I don't see that with Notre Dame. I see that with Clemson and Etienne and Trevor Lawrence being able to throw the ball down the field at times. Ian Book, he's more of, he can create plays with his feet. He picks and chooses this is the right time to extend plays. But he doesn't wow you. His arm strength doesn't wow you. His intangibles don't wow you. Trevor, that's Etienne. Ian Book does not have that lead running back that can carry him. Dexter Williams is a nice back, 941 yards, 6.5 yards a carry. Travis Etienne's a workhorse, and he's averaging over 8 yards a carry, 21 touchdowns. Dexter Williams has a dozen. He's having a nice year. Etienne's a game changer, man. You're talking about one of the most underrated, least talked about running backs in college football. He's playing for the Clemson Tigers. It's Travis Etienne. Jonathan Taylor, Bryce Love coming into the year. Those guys, they're getting all the attention. Etienne, he's as good as any of them. Terrific season. That's why when it's all said and done, and I'm going to make my official picks when we pick them in the next segment, and we'll pick some of the other bowl games as well, but I just think Clemson is a higher upside team than Notre Dame that does the same things Notre Dame does, just at a better level. They're just slightly better in all areas. Again, I think Trevor Lawrence is a slightly better player than Ian Book. I think Travis Etienne is better than any running back Notre Dame can put out there. You know, the receivers, T. Higgins for Clemson, he can match that with Miles Boykin at Notre Dame. They're both just over 800 yards. I just don't see an area where Notre Dame can exploit Clemson, especially with the way that Clemson shuts down the run. If Notre Dame's going to win this game, Dexter Williams is going to have his best game of the year. Not saying it can't happen. I just don't see it happening. Clemson doesn't give up chunk plays. They're top five in total defense. I just don't see it happening. I think there's a clear edge here for Clemson, and I don't see who the game changer for Notre Dame can be, whereas Clemson has their game changer and Travis Etienne. Those are some of my thoughts on the Goodyear Cotton Bowl between number 2 Clemson and number 3 Notre Dame. Let's shift gears to the Capital One Orange Bowl, the game I am much more intrigued in. Obviously, I'm a Big 12 guy. For those of you who have been listening to my podcast throughout the year, I try to mix in as much Big 12 as I can. I lean that way as often as I can, being based here in Dallas, Texas. Number 1 Alabama, number 4 Oklahoma. You look down the numbers, Oklahoma, number 1 in total offense, almost 580 yards a game. 8.75 yards per play. Number 8 in passing offense. Number 11 in rushing offense. Number 1 in scoring offense. Alabama, number 7 in total offense, just under 530 yards a game. Number 7 in passing offense. 36th in rushing offense. Number 2 in scoring offense, just under 48 points a game. The defense is where you see the difference. Oklahoma, 108th in total defense. Dead last against the pass at over 291 yards a game. Alabama's total defense, number 10, number 18 in rush defense, number 13 in pass defense. That's where the difference on paper is here. Oklahoma's offense is better than Alabama's. They can run the ball better. As good as Tua is, I think Kyler Murray can make more things happen in terms of improvising. Of course, Tua had the high ankle sprain in the SEC championship game. He says he's 80 to 85%. I'm not convinced, honestly. Let's say he's 80%. I'm not sure that's a better option than Jalen Hurts. The way Hurts played in that game, Tua's a guy who likes to, at times, escape and make plays with his feet, throw on the run. If he can't drive through the football with that ankle at full go, you know, I'm not convinced that's a better option. That's why you look at the numbers here. If I'm Oklahoma, the way I am attacking Alabama on the defensive side, Oklahoma's defense, because there are not going to be a lot of stops in this game if you're Oklahoma. That's just the reality of it. So you got to find a way to force Alabama to make a couple of mistakes. I would sell out 75% of the time, if not more. Because if you drop 7, drop 8, let Tua sit back there, he's going to dissect this Oklahoma defense. They're dead last in pass defense. They're not going to they're not going to line up straight up and shut them down. Tua's too good. Jerry Jeudy, those guys, they're too good. They're going to get open against Oklahoma. Tua's going to find him. If Jalen Hurts were to play, he's going to find him. He's going to make plays. You got to bring the house, especially with Tua on that ankle that's not 100%. Try and knock him around. Force him to make a throw that he doesn't want to make, and you got to pick it off. That's what they did against West Virginia. They gave up 56 points, but they strip-sacked Will Grier twice and scored touchdowns. Huge. Oklahoma in this game, it's to have success defensively, it's not the amount of points it gives up. It's can it have splash plays? Can it force turnovers? Can it get a defensive score? Can you sack Tua a couple of times? You know? That's what you're looking for if you're Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma can score on anybody, including Alabama. The numbers for Alabama are good defensively. Again, number 10 in total defense, top 20 in both rush and pass defense. But this is not the same Alabama defense we've seen in the past. They haven't seen a quarterback like Kyler Murray. They haven't seen as fast of a receiver like Marquise Brown, and his health is critical in this game. If he's not close to 100%, that's a major blow to Oklahoma's chances. But assuming he's close to full go, you pair him with CeeDee Lamb. You got the running backs. Kennedy Brooks. Trey Sermon. The way those guys can run the ball with Kyler Murray. Kyler's ability to escape plays and make things happen. I was at that Big 12 title game when they played Texas. Texas had him swarmed two or three times, and he would just go into another gear, get the edge, get 6 yards. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. I love Tua. Tua's not that fast, though, especially with the ankle. Kyler can – he escapes to run and throw. Tua's typically escaping to throw, typically. Now, he'll run at times, but Kyler Murray's the fastest player on the field 9 times out of 10. I mean, the guy is a game-changer every time he touches the football. I look at this game, if you're Oklahoma, you sell out defensively. If they burn you on 60-yard touchdowns, so be it. They're just going to drive it on you and score anyway. Might as well get the ball back. You got to get those splash plays. Alabama, you're looking for Kyler to make a mistake. I would approach it the opposite way. I'd do a lot of dropping 7, dropping 8. I wouldn't blitz him a ton. You know? I would try and get pressure with 3 or 4 and have 7 or 8 in the back end. You know, play that zone coverage. Make him make those tighter window type throws down the field. Don't let him get loose. I'm telling you, you let this guy get loose, he's going to put up points. I think they're going to put up points anyway. I could see 51-40. You know, 49-38 Alabama in this game. I think Oklahoma's going to have its opportunities. But when it comes down to it, that defense is just not going to get it done. And that's why I think you got to try and sell out. You got to try and blitz a bunch. Keep blitzing. Blitz every play. If you line up straight up, you won't make a play or a stop defensively. I'm sorry. This Oklahoma defense, it's not good enough on the back end. You got to try and get pressure any way you can. Those are my thoughts on the Orange Bowl, my thoughts earlier on the Cotton Bowl here on the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. I'm going to give you my official picks of the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl and who I think is going to play for the national championship coming up in about 10 days. I also have 10 other bowl games to pick, all the New Year's Six, a handful of others over the next 3 or 4 days coming up. We pick them next. I finished this year strong in the regular season. I got a dozen games to pick coming up next here on the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. That's straight ahead. All right, putting a wrap on this edition of the Four Verticals Podcast, episode 18. Lots of college football playoff talk, semifinal games between Oklahoma and Alabama, and Notre Dame and Clemson. Going to make our official picks of those at the end of this segment. I finished the regular season through conference championship week 60-49-1 against the spread. Really finished strong. 11 games above 500. Pretty solid end to my season. Got 12 more bowl games I'm picking, including those semifinal matchups, which we'll do at the end of this. Starting on December 29th, tomorrow, we got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl between number 10 Florida versus number 7 Michigan. Michigan having a couple of players sit out, including their running back, Caron Higdon. That line has dropped all the way down to 6 points. I still like that number for the Wolverines. Similar teams here, but Michigan is at least decent offensively, if you can say. They're at least competent. Florida has major issues on that side of the ball. Two really good defensive teams. I'm going to lean with the Wolverines here. I think they win this game something like, I could see like 23-10. I think they'll 23-13, 21-14, something like that. I think they cover the 6 points and win this game. It's a big win for Jim Harbaugh. Get some momentum heading into next year. Again, two more games tomorrow. It's the college football playoff semifinal matchups. We'll do those at the end of this segment. So let's skip to December 31st, New Year's Eve action. The Red Box Bowl, Michigan State versus Oregon. Ducks getting 2.5 points, or giving 2.5, I should say. Big news for Oregon this week. Quarterback Justin Herbert announcing that he is coming back for his senior season. Michigan State's had major issues offensively. Brian Lewerke has really struggled. Rocky Lombardi hasn't played much better. We'll see who gets the nod in this one. I'm taking Oregon. 2.5 is not a big enough number. I think they win this game by 10 or more. Give me the Ducks to roll in the Red Box Bowl. AutoZone Liberty Bowl, number 23, Mizzou against Oklahoma State. Maybe the most up and down, wild roller coaster 6-6 team in college football history. A couple of top 10 wins. Should have beaten Oklahoma. Also lost to the likes of Texas Tech, TCU, and Baylor. Missouri finished strong, winning their last four. Tigers, 9-point favorites. I'm going to go Oklahoma State here. I think they can score enough points to keep this within 9 points. Mizzou will probably win the game. Drew Locke will go out with a big game before they hand the reins to Kelly Bryant next year. Give me Mizzou to win, but I think Oklahoma State covers that 9 points. San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl, number 22 Northwestern against number 17 Utah. A couple of conference runner-ups. Utes actually getting 7 points in this game, which surprises me because they only scored 3 points against Washington, the Pac-12 title game. I like Northwestern not only to cover that 7, I think they probably win this game. They're a little better offensively. I think the defenses between these two are pretty similar. Utah's probably slightly better defensively, but I think Northwestern can do a few more things offensively. Give me Pat Fitzgerald. They've had a nice year. I think they get this thing done, get to win number 9. I think they take down Utah. Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, NC State, number 19, Texas A&M. Of course, the Aggies ended their regular season with that thrilling 7-overtime win against LSU. North Carolina State, pretty solid season, 8-3. Of course, Ryan Finley, their quarterback. Texas A&M favored by 7 points in this one. That feels like a high number to me. North Carolina State can do some things offensively. Finley will be an NFL guy, probably a middle-round pick. Texas A&M, while they won that game against LSU kind of started to fade down the stretch and really kind of got robbed a couple of times in that game. Texas A&M lost a late game to Auburn in unimpressive fashion. 7 points feels like I could see Texas A&M winning this game. I think NC State will keep this close and might even win it themselves, though. Give me NC State to cover the 7. 5 New Year's Day bowls start with the Outback Bowl, number 18, Mississippi State. 7-point favorites against Iowa. I'll take Mississippi State. Nick Fitzgerald has struggled throwing the football this year, but he's really run it well. Iowa, Nate Stanley has been real inconsistent. He's going to come back for his senior year after some wondered if he would go pro early. I just think Mississippi State is more well-rounded. They're a little better defensively. I think Fitzgerald makes enough plays. They'll cover the 7 points, and they'll win the Outback Bowl over Iowa. PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, number 11 LSU against number 8 UCF. Tigers, 7.5-point favorites. I wonder where this line would be if Mackenzie Milton was healthy, but that's neither here nor there. UCF did get a huge game from their backup quarterback in the AAC title game. Daryl Mack Jr. had 348 yards passing and a couple of touchdowns in that one. Also ran for four more touchdowns and 59 yards rushing. I'm taking the Golden Knights. They've got a lot to prove in this game because people have questioned their depth. Could they, you know, over a 12-game schedule, do some of the things they're doing? Now, I'm not saying they could go into the ACC and win the ACC, but I do think they've been disrespected the last couple of years. They beat a solid Memphis team without Mackenzie Milton. LSU is not explosive offensively. I think UCF is going to be able to score enough to keep this a game. I'm not sure that they'll win. I think they'll for sure keep this within 7.5, though. I could see this game coming down to the wire. Give me UCF to cover in the Fiesta Bowl. Citrus Bowl, number 14, Kentucky against number 12, Penn State. Nittany Lions, 6.5-point favorites. Trace McSorley's final game at Penn State. I don't see him losing in a game like this. He's won a lot of big games in his career. Kentucky's been a nice story this season, but they struggle offensively. Benny Snell Jr. has been a really good running back, but if you force them to throw the ball, they really struggle. Terry Austin, very inconsistent. I think Penn State's more balanced. They can run the ball with Miles Sanders as well. That defense has been shaky at times, but again, Kentucky's not an explosive offense. I think Penn State covers the 6.5 and wins the Citrus Bowl, gets to win number 10. Trace McSorley has a huge game. He's had a month to get healthy. He's had a banged-up knee all year. I think they'll roll in this game. Rose Bowl game, number 9 Washington, number 6 Ohio State. It's well documented. Urban Meyer's final game as the Buckeyes head coach before he transitions into an assistant athletic director role under Gene Smith. Plenty of controversy there, but I'm not here to comment on that today. Only 6.5-point favorites against Washington. I like Chris Peterson. I think he's a hell of a coach. But I'll be honest, if that game's not played in a blizzard against Washington State, I think Wazoo's in the Pac-12 title game and probably in this game instead of Washington. I think Dwayne Haskins is going to have a huge day. I think he probably goes pro, especially with Herbert declaring he's coming back. He could be the top quarterback in the NFL draft. He's been rolling for Ohio State. They've played a little better defense down the stretch. I think Ohio State wins this game by 17 or more. Give me the Buckeyes to cover the 6.5 and win the Rose Bowl. All-State Sugar Bowl game. I will be in attendance of this one. I'm going to check out the Texas Longhorns and the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia 13-point favorites in this game. That feels really high to me. Texas has proven all year they can play up to their competition and at least keep games competitive. They beat OU once. We're tied with them heading into the fourth quarter in the Big 12 title game. They won't be overwhelmed by the moment. Now, Georgia's going to have more talent, and if they're motivated to play this game after being left out of the playoff, they should win. But two touchdowns, 13 points. I think Texas can keep this a 10-point game or so. Give me the Texas Longhorns to cover against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Georgia wins, but Texas covers. The games we all been waiting for as we roll back to December 29th. Goodyear Cotton Bowl, number 2 Clemson, 13-point favorites against number 3 Notre Dame. I know they got a couple of their key guys out, but the way I've looked at this since this game was announced, I just think Clemson is a better version of Notre Dame. I think Trevor Lawrence is a little bit better than Ian Book. I think Travis Etienne is better than any running back Notre Dame has. And I think Clemson's defense is a little bit better than Notre Dame's. I think they do everything that Notre Dame does, but just a little bit better. I think Clemson's going to grind them out. They've got better athletes on that defense. I could see like a 27-13 game. I think they'll cover that 13. It won't be easy because Notre Dame will play defense. 27-13, 31-14, somewhere in that range. I just don't see Ian Book being able to make enough plays. Give me Clemson to head to their third national championship in the last 4 years. Capital One Orange Bowl, number 1 Alabama against number 4 Oklahoma. Crimson Tide, 14-point favorites. Tua Tagovailoa has said he's 80-85% with that high ankle sprain. As I said in the last segment, I'm not convinced him at 80% is a better option than Jalen Hurts, because Tua is a guy who likes to escape and make plays on the run with his feet, scramble when it's available for him. Plus, if he's getting pressured, you know, throwing off that back foot, not being able to drive into the throws, that could be problematic. I'm not saying Oklahoma's going to win this game, but they're going to score points. If you think Alabama's going to win this game 52-13 or 49-17, I don't see it. I think Oklahoma can get into the 30s at least, maybe even more. I'll pick Alabama to win. I think 14's a bit disrespectful, though. I think Kyler Murray's terrific. I think this will be a shootout. Alabama's defense will make enough plays to win this game, especially late. But 14's too high. I could see something like 48-38, 51-41. I think Oklahoma keeps this within 14, but Alabama will roll yet again. So that'll set up the national championship. It'll be Alabama and Clemson for the third time in 4 years. I'll be back for episode 19 of the Four Verticals podcast to preview that matchup, put a wrap on the rest of bowl season as we get ready for the 2018 national championship. Of course, it'll be played in 2019, but the 2018-19 season between who I think will be Alabama and Clemson. So a quick recap of my picks for the remaining bowl games, or most of them at least, 12 games I picked here today. Peach Bowl, I got number 7 Michigan covering the 6 points and beating number 10 Florida. I think they win and cover. Number 2 Clemson, I think they win and cover the 13 against number 3 Notre Dame. Number 2 Clemson, I should have said, covers against number 3 Notre Dame. 13 points, they win and cover. Orange Bowl, number 1 Alabama, 14-point favorites over Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma covers, Alabama wins. Red Box Bowl, Oregon, 2.5-point favorites against Michigan State. Give me the Ducks to win and cover. Number 23 Missouri, 9-point favorites against Oklahoma State in the Liberty Bowl. Give me the Cowboys to cover, Mizzou winning. Holiday Bowl, number 17 Utah, 7-point favorites against number 22 Northwestern. I like Northwestern to cover and possibly win that game. Gator Bowl, NC State versus number 19 Texas A&M. Aggies getting 7-point favorites. I think NC State covers the 7. Outback Bowl, number 18 Mississippi State, 7-point favorites against Iowa. Give me the Bulldogs to win and cover. Fiesta Bowl, number 11 LSU, 7.5-point favorites against number 8 UCF. I think the Golden Knights cover. Number 14 Kentucky, number 12 Penn State in the Citrus Bowl. Penn State, 6.5-point favorites. I got the Nittany Lions winning and covering. Number 6 Ohio State, 6.5-point favorites against number 9 Washington in the Rose Bowl. I think 6.5 is way too small. Give me Ohio State to win and cover. And in the Sugar Bowl, I got number 15 Texas covering as 13-point dogs against number 5 Georgia. That's going to put a wrap on this episode of the Four Verticals podcast. Again, I'll be back to break down who wins these semifinal games and who is heading to the national championship game sometime next week. Until then, as I always say, remember, always go deep.